This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Bill Shear and Gutch Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. For more information, please visit gutchchurch.com.
It's Wednesday night, so it has to matter, right? Has to matter that you're here. Has to matter that you give. Has to matter that you have a right relationship with your money. Has to matter that you're inviting people to church. Has to matter that you're touching God with the need or whatever it is in your life. Tonight, it has to matter that you get it. It has to matter that you understand. It has to matter that you know the secret. You know, and it's interesting because, man, what's been held back from the world for centuries that we have now, it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. That you have to know the secret. Paul knew the secret. You know, you wonder what differentiated Paul or even Abram in the Old Testament. What differentiated those guys from everybody else is that they got it. That we have to get it. You know, it's funny because, man, you'll see people that you may be socialized with, and man, they may be inappropriate sometimes, or they'll say things that are rude, and you know, you'll just think, man, they just don't get it. You know, but that's like us with God. And I think that God just wants us to get it. You know, the Bible says that we have to apprehend that which has apprehended us. Do you know you're here tonight because, man, you're a part of the church and you made a commitment and all that stuff, but you're here because God's arrested you. Man, there's some people that, you know, they're bobbing and weaving, and man, they're doing everything they can do for God not to get a hold of their lives. I know that I was for 5 years. And then finally, I got into a predicament. I got into a situation where it's like, shoot, I'm gonna die. Nothing's gonna work. And then the next thing you know, my dad prayed for me. And the next thing you know, Jesus made himself real to me. And you know what? At that moment, I'm telling you, God arrested me. God apprehended me. And then, you know what? It meant for a few weeks then, I was stiff-arming. Really a couple months, I was trying not. And then you know what? I just decided that's it. I'm giving my life to Jesus. And I grabbed God back. Well, see, a part of that, let me just tell you, without having an understanding of it then, just that simple experience, that exercise that I grabbed God back, where I said, God, I'm going to give you my life. That's it. I'm going to get my life right with you. Man, that simple little exercise, if you will, that I did, man, it caused me to enter into a whole new life. Man, a life of incredible blessing, a life of abundance, where now, no matter what kind of money, you guys have to understand that Pastor Sandy and I started this church, and really honestly, that year we had $7,000 of taxable income, and you guys all know I'm not a very good fundraiser. We leave a lot on the table. You guys that are new here, we leave a lot. We're kings at leaving whatever on the table. We're not trying to wring anybody out. And let me just tell you, though, that's a difficult position to start a church. Man, there's a lot of expense. Especially the kind of church that we wanted to, that God had put in our heart. It was a church designed for people that didn't like church. Some of them, man, they'd been burnt maybe as young people in the church. Because you got to understand, in Tulsa, man, in the 70s and 80s, early 80s, they'd have revival. And let me tell you, I'm all in on it. Except, you know what, if you're a kid during that time, you get kind of thrown into a room with felt Moses and Abraham figures on the wall. And it's hard to love God when it's lame like that. There wasn't video games then. There wasn't other stuff. And you know, the adults are having a great time. There's a move of God in the sanctuary, but they're sticking the kids. You know, there wasn't really vibrant youth ministry then. So teenagers had to sit and get shushed and to be quiet. And you know, it's interesting because the chapter that God gave me regarding this church before it even started was Ezekiel 34, where the Bible says, God says, "Woe be unto the shepherds of Israel who don't tend to the flock, but with force and with cruelty you've ruled them." That's why Pastor Sandy and I, can I introduce Sandy to you? Do you guys mind? Sandy's here. Sandy, you mind standing? But this church is going to be young people friendly. Man, we're gonna do everything we can, man, to help your kids get swept off their feet here. Man, we want them to love the leadership of the church. We want them to love the church. We want them to love God. Man, see, so we look at it, and that's the whole idea of what we do. It's clean, safe, and fun. If there's any kind of hesitancy that we have with anybody that's serving in the kids area, man, we address it. And you know, and don't play there. But see, you got to understand that we're going to be young people friendly. Man, you look around, there's not much you can break around here. Man, you guys are at Skytook. Look around in the building. There's not much you can break. It's very kid-friendly. It's not like when you went to your great aunt's house when you were a kid and don't touch that or don't run or, man, don't knock that over. The house wasn't very kid-friendly. Well, we want this church to be very young people-friendly. But see, you look at that, there was a big concern early on, how are you going to pay the bills? And you know what? I don't know that we ever had that concern. And I'll tell you, we always stayed within the margins. We always created margins and then stayed within those margins. Never got out in front of ourselves. And let me tell you, I'm a get out in front of myself guy. I'm a bite off more than I can chew, ready, fire, aim guy. But let me tell you, we stayed within our margins. We developed margins and stayed within them. And that's the key. That's why the Bible says, don't despise small beginnings. Man, God's gonna do something great, but you know what you've gotta do? You gotta get built up. You gotta grow into this. And let me tell you, you gotta get to where you get it. It matters that you get it. It matters that your emotions and your situations and your circumstances don't dictate how things are going. Turn to your Bible. Some of you guys brought your Bibles in here tonight. Anybody bring a Bible? You're at church. Why wouldn't you bring a Bible? You might say, I'm visiting. Well, you're visiting a church. Bring your Bible. That's my way of greeting you and saying hello. Let's go to Philippians the 4th. You know that Paul wrote this letter. You know that Philippi is a small community, and it was in a Roman province. But you know, these people from Philippi, they got it, and they funded a lot of the things that happened. You know, they funded the church in Corinth. Corinth was a big metropolis, but guess what? Man, the church at Philippi funded Paul launching and starting that church. I mean, these people got it. In Philippians the 4th chapter, verse 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. It's important, man, that we have a platform, a basis of a stance of joy where we can rejoice no matter what's going on. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing. Everybody repeat that. Be anxious for nothing. You got it. Anxiety that's in your life, you've got to put an axe to the root of that. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. Through prayer and thanksgiving, let prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, above that word peace, write prosperity. When you see peace in the New Testament, it's the synonym of it's prosperity. Prosperity, listen, and don't think of it in terms of money or cash. Think it in terms, listen, of margins. Think it in terms of you being in control of your life or situations or circumstances in your life, that they don't have control of you, you have control of them. And the peace or prosperity of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What's it going to do? Now listen, and here's what's pivotal. It's going to surpass your understanding. Everybody say, surpass my understanding. Say it again. It's going to surpass your, so guess what? You're not going to initially get it. It's going to surpass your understanding. It's going to surpass what you already have. But it's going to guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, noble, just, pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Highlight or underline, meditate on these things. Because let me tell you, what we're usually meditating, what our flesh wants to meditate on, are the things opposite of this. Man, the things that you're not going to make it, and they're going to drag you down, and it's just not going to work out, and that's just a load of bull. You have to understand, you have to meditate on it. And let me tell you how we meditate. We don't kneel, face the east and hum and call that meditation. Here's what meditation is in the New Testament. Meditation is that we are thinking about so aggressively, and the tempo of our mind is so rapid that we're thinking about God's word and thinking about God's promise that we get to mutter it with our lips. We begin to mutter God's word. But thanks be to God who always causes me to triumph in Christ. All my needs are met according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You get the word so much and it's turning in you. You allow God's word. But listen, we have to understand the dynamics of God's word. The word is alive and powerful. And that word powerful means it enables us. Man, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Man, you win. And see, because why? Because, man, the arsenal that you have is greater than the arsenal that the world has. You just can't let your flesh take over. So how do you crucify your flesh? You read the word. How do you crucify your flesh? You pray. In your understanding, you pray in the spirit. How do you crucify your flesh? Man, you quote the word. Man, you sing the word. You do I mean, whatever you have to do to allow the word to consume every aspect of your life. That's meditate on these things. And listen, he doesn't give you a choice. Hey, why don't you give this meditation thing a try? He says, no, look, get this so much in you. And I'll tell you, I'll be real honest with you. You let your problems get bigger than who you are. Let me tell you, you don't have bigger problems than who you are if God's on the inside of you. If his promise is ready in your heart and on your lips. Man, the word of God's near me. It's in my heart. It's in my mouth. Man, I get a mouthful, man. Just let me open my mouth. I'm going to say it. Man, what is God doing in your life? I already know what the devil's doing. I already know what the world's throwing at you. What is God doing in your life? I know it's awkward. I become Pastor Dad and Pastor Husband and Pastor Bill and Pastor Friend. Because why? Because let me just tell you, I'm going to stop. So what's God doing in your life? Man, because here's the deal. I want to get people on my page. Sandy said this a long time. You don't have to have been a prostitute to minister to prostitutes. You don't have to have been a drug addict. Isn't that right, Sandy? You have to be a drug addict to minister to drug addicts. You just have to know Jesus. You just have to have his word and his promise hidden in your heart. It's got to be on the tip of your tongue. Verse 9, the things which you've learned, this is huge. Verse 9 is huge. The things that you've learned, and you've received, and you've heard, and you've saw in me. These do. Now listen, learned, received, heard, and saw. You do. Now listen, here's what's pivotal. You can't learn and receive and hear and see in one visit. It's got to be repetition. I'm telling you, I'm just telling you, any of you guys, how many of you guys are going through something in your life right now? You just need God. Let me see your hands. You got to be here every time the door's open. You'll say, well, what does that mean? There's a lot of traffic in this church, I know. You know what I want to do? I want to overwhelm the enemy. I really do. Man, but I'll tell you what, man, if we're going to be done at 8 o'clock, okay, so at 8 o'clock, you're going to leave here and go, okay, I feel better. But let me just tell you, the Bible says the enemy's going to come immediately like the fowl of the air to steal the seed out of nowhere. You know, it's interesting. You know what science is going to do? If you don't take notes in this service tonight, you're not going to be able to change the world. If you want to change the world, you got to take notes. But if you don't take notes within 2 days, you'll only retain 5% of what you've heard. No wonder you're going through something in your life. See, this isn't just about you occupying these seats or the numbers of people or the amount of money. No, let me just tell you, money's not the issue. Money's never the issue. Write that down. Money's not the issue. Money is easy. Provision follows vision. Without a vision, my people perish. If you don't know God's promise, you can't have any kind of vision. You're blinded from the truth. You got scales on your eyes. And I'm telling you, but what we've got to understand now is we've got to have this so much. We've got to be ingrained. This has got to, let me just tell you, there has to be like an initiation. You have to learn the bylaws. You have to understand the procedures and the rules and the order of the club. Man, that's what learning is. Man, you got to test yourself. And you know what Paul said? Man, I wish you guys could hear this tonight, because I think this is pretty good. You know what Paul said? Man, Paul said, check yourself daily that you're in faith. Every single day. You know what's interesting? You know what the ministry is designed for? The correction, reproof, and edification. That's New Testament ministry. Correction, how many guys enjoy being corrected? Huh? But that's who God loves. Reproof, it's like, how dare you? I've been a Christian for 34 years. Guess what? I've got to reprove who I am in Christ every time I get on this platform, don't I, Sandy? I got to prove myself. Man, some of you guys are going to hear something that offends you and you're going to fire me. Never come back. I'll live. It'll be okay. But you understand, there's a reproof to all this. Man, reprove yourself. Man, reproof. And then edification is building up. Why? Because the correction and the reproof, man, what it does is it takes out the rotten and the mildewed and the moldy and the crummy elements of your life. And then you know what? And then the edification or the building up. And you know what? It's on your most holy faith. Verse 10, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. That word flourished is like a tree that comes out of dormancy of winter into the spring and blooms. And you know what? You know what the blooms signify? They signify the fruit's on the way. And that's pivotal. See, the whole thing about flourishing, how many of you guys know Psalm 92, 13? How many of you guys know that? You should know it. How many of you guys know it? How many of you guys want to know it? Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Man, for some of you guys, and even in old age, you're going to be fresh and flourishing. See, we've got to look at this and we've got to understand that we are like the tree, cedars of Lebanon. We are like the palm. We are robust and we are fruit bearing and our fruit remains. But that word flourish means is that we're coming out of our dormancy. Man, we're blooming again. And you know what? The cycle of our life, we're renewing with new fruit. See, some of you guys produce fruit 5 or 6 or 8 or 10 years ago or something, and you're good with that. You're like my grandpa George, my great-grandpa. He canned everything. And then finally I'd say, George, you're not gonna be, his cellar was so full of canned everything. And I said, why do you can everything? He goes, because it makes good wine. I'm like, he was like this tall. He operated a tugboat in the Mississippi River and he didn't have any thumbs. And you guys have a great uncle, didn't have any thumbs? His name was George Gruskowski. But see, we have to look at our lives and understand that, man, there's fruit. But it comes after the bloom, which comes when we begin to flourish from our dormancy. Some of you guys just been dormant. And you know what Paul's talking about here in giving? Man, if you were ever a great giver, you were ever generous, and you're not now, you got to come out of that dormancy. That's what Paul's talking about right here. He said, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Verse 11. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned, I've highlighted, I have learned in my Bible, in whatever state I am, to be content. That word content means undisturbed. Whatever state that I'm in, I'm undisturbed. I'm undisturbable. I'm sufficient in whatever circumstance. And you know what he's saying? There's a translation, I think it's the 20th century version or something that says that Paul said, I'm independent of circumstance. I'm independent of the circumstances of my life. And why? Because God's my source. And see, that's the big key. That's where the secret of this is. That's what Paul's secret. He wrote this from a Roman prison. Verse 12, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. See, we all talk about where Paul said, I know how to be abased, and I'm just telling you, I normally will go to that place. I'll go to that place where it's like, you know, I'm content even if I have very little. But you know what? He didn't say that. He said, I'm content whether I have very little or I have major surplus. And I'm telling you, some of you guys have to be careful that have surplus in your life. Because you know what surplus means? You can relax. You know what surplus means? You can take a trip. You know what? There's a time to take a trip, and then there's a time not to. I mean, we've got to put God first in our lives, and we've got to allow God to be our source. And we can't think, well, you know, the surplus, man, oh my gosh, I remember, I got through that hard time. Man, I'm in a good time now. You know what Paul said? Man, I've learned to be content, whether I have little or I have surplus in my life. And you know what? But it's probably more difficult for you to serve God with surplus. You know, the Bible even talks about that. It talks about people of wealth, people that are rich. You got to be careful not to be haughty and not trust in your riches. He said this, Everywhere and in all things I have learned, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Everywhere and in all things. And then he said this, he said, I have learned. There's two statements here that I want to address, okay? He said, I know how and I have learned. And this is in the sense of being initiated in understanding, that he's submitted to the initiation. He's joined in. See, that he said, look, I know how and I have learned. I've taken on the initiation of understanding. And I want to ask you, have you? You've heard it, you know it. Man, the devil knows the word. The devil knows God's promise. That's why he's feverishly trying to deceive you from really occupying God's promise. See, because that's the occupation God wants us to have. Man, the Bible talks about us occupying till he comes. That's not just being here. That's not just taking up the space. No, occupying is that we're taking responsibility and ownership. Man, us occupying, you know what we're doing? Man, we're occupying God's promise for this hour. We're occupying this God's promise for these people. We're occupying God's promise for this situation. What are you going through? I'm telling you, there's somebody within 10 feet of you right now that has a ready word, I'm just telling you, that's hidden in their heart already, that I'm telling you would trump the situation that you're in. And you might say, well, it's hopeless, or well, you know what, it's fatal, or it's incurable, and it's like bull. That's what they say. That's not what the word says. See, and we've got to understand this, and we've got to look at that what are we looking for? We're looking for wisdom. Why? To gain understanding. And that's the principal thing. Man, we've got to look at it. We've got to think, now, let me tell you, man, God's blessings have come upon my life and they have overtaken me. Surely, goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life, and I dwell in his house forever. Man, I'll tell you what, where you want to be is you want to be a leader. And you know what? You're a leader when you're producing goodness and mercy behind you, because that's what people behind you that are following you are going to be blessed then. Man, that the goodness and mercy is what they live in just because they're following your path. Remember what Paul said, the things that I've learned, that the things you've learned and you've received and you've seen and you've heard in me, these things do. Man, get in step, you know, but we don't want to. I don't want, man, who do you think you are? You're just a guy too. No, you know what? I'm telling you, you got to follow the path of God. You got to follow somebody that gets it. Man, I know the way. Man, I know Scott Houston's an elder here because he knows the way. Man, follow Scott. Man, we're sitting in a movie. Scott gets up, I get up. Scott walks, I walk. I'm not saying, hey, Scott, where are we going? I don't care where we're going. He gets it. He understands. Who do you have in your life that's like that? But let me tell you, what's going to end up happening is you're going to get out in the world and somebody's going to be speaking about the church because they think they know better than you do, or they think they know what's going on, but they don't understand. They don't get it. How many of you guys have ever heard anybody say, all they care about is money at that church? Can I see your hands? How many of you guys have heard people say, all they care about is numbers at that church? Can I see your hands? They don't get it. They don't get it. The leadership of this church would give their arm for you and may not even know you. But you know what? Those people could say it, but they don't get it. And if they don't get it, guess who can use them? The enemy. And you know what? They're well-meaning people. I think they're even saved. Man, I think, you know, they're in a home church. All those big churches, All those churches, they want to get bigger so they can get nicer cars and bigger houses. I've learned to be content. Man, I look back on that year I had $7,000 of taxable income. I didn't know I was poor or broke until I went to dinner with a guy and he came up to me and he said, I was going to buy him lunch and I went to pay. He goes, no, you can't afford this. I said, what? He said, no, I'm bringing you here because I want you to be able to experience this kind of meal because I know you can't afford it. Let me just tell you, maybe a little pride kicked in. I don't know that I let anybody buy me a meal for years. I'm just telling you. I don't want it to be a pride thing, but let me tell you something. I don't want somebody else dictating how my circumstances, situations end up. Whether I abase or abound, who in their right mind would start a church without anything? Who would? Man, what was your plan? Man, doggone it. That building fell, the building we started in fell in my lap. Came home and said, Sandy, I made a deal in that building. She goes, oh, good. Sandy, it's a building. It's 40,000 square feet. Oh, I know. It's awesome. Because I know in her heart, she knew we could reach people there. See, you have to understand that we don't have to know all the worldly tactics. We just have to know who our source is. That's what the secret, that's the whole secret of Paul. Let me keep reading here. And we'll get to the secret. Verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He's writing this from prison to a little country church in Philippi. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Why could he say that? And you should write these down. He knew he was independent of his circumstances. And I'm telling you, for you, whether things are tight or there's a surplus, you have to remain independent of your circumstances. Oh my gosh. You get into any of the debates of the world, I'll tell you what kind of people that we have to be. We see a need, we fill a need. We have to have the word ready in our hearts. You have to make the word of God, the promise of God, a premium in your life so that you can live it and the people around you can receive from you. I'm telling you, you don't need my opinion on things. I have one, trust me. Man, I ate lunch with Rick Santorum last week and he said, man, a guy's church's name is Guts. He goes, man, I'm a Catholic guy. Man, how about St. Guts? I said, I don't think that works, Rick. He said, man, who are you backing? I said, Jesus. He said, well, don't you have it? I said, no, hold it. I have an opinion. I have a very strong opinion. But you know what? Man, I want to know the word. I want to know him. And the power of his resurrection. And see, that's the key. See, some of you guys in here, I want to pick a fight here. Some of you guys in here know him, but not the power. I'm telling you, it's like those Christians who followed him for years, saw amazing things. Could you imagine walking with Jesus for over 3 years and seeing the amazement? I mean, doesn't it say Tom Scott? Doesn't it say that if all the miracles were written, that there wouldn't be volumes of books big enough to contain it? That's how much he did. So this is a drop in the bucket. The four gospels we have of Jesus is like an eyedropper drop in the bucket of what Jesus was about. And here were these guys that went with him day in and day out and watched him and observed him and studied him. And he died on the cross and they hid in a house and locked the doors. Scared of everything and everybody. Man, how do we know that it's you? Here, take your index finger and stick it in the hole in my hand. There aren't a whole lot of guys walking around with these. But you know what? They had to get to know the power of his resurrection. That's the understanding that Paul had. The secret is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, whether I abase or abound, whether my marriage is on its last leg or I'm a newlywed, no matter what, I'm telling you, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above only and not beneath. Greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. No weapon formed against me will ever prosper, yet everything I put my hand to will. See, man, that's got to be ready on your, man, how many of you guys have heard me say that? Sandy, have you heard that simple, that thing right there? You've heard it thousands of times, haven't you? And I want to keep hiding that in my heart. And you'll say, man, it's just repetition. I know. I'm going to overwhelm the enemy in my life. I want to overwhelm the enemy in your life. I mean, I don't want to pastor a church full of people that are dog-eared, just getting their butts kicked, just getting hammered, getting slapped around by something as goofy as cigarettes, cheap wine, meth, porn, whatever it is. Man, the devil just open-handed slapping you. Man, I'll tell you what, I had a little brother that there was a guy that was on leave in the Marines, and I was going to college, and my brother was a senior in high school, and he was at a party, and this guy came and open-handed, my little brother's like 5'7". He's a half-brother. You got it. It's a lot funnier if you don't get it. He is half-brother, this guy at a party in front of all these people just walked up to my brother, said something about me, and opened his hand and slapped my brother across the head. Then a bunch of people, and I'm telling you, my brother's got a temper. And he would have grabbed something hard and went after that guy, but everybody split it up and just humiliated my brother, and I found out about it. And I'm telling you, back then there was a rage in me that I couldn't control it. Man, I drove back to my hometown 4 hours, and like I found that guy, and he didn't see me coming. And let me just tell you, that's how God's word is on your behalf. I'm telling you, man, God's word on your behalf is going to overwhelm your enemies. Man, no matter what it is, don't let your situation, your circumstances dictate who you are and what you think and how you're about. How much of your mind is worry? How much of your mind is doubt? How much of your mind is regret or shame or guilt? Do you understand what the blood of Jesus is? How many of you guys took communion Sunday? Can I see your hands? How many of you guys took communion? Guess what? That's the cleansing blood of Jesus that you just ingested. And you know what it does? It wipes you clean, as pure as a driven snow. That's what that blood does. It's the cup of the covenant. That's why you don't want to miss church. That's why you want to get all of this that you can. Man, I'll tell you, there's very few people that even understand the ritual of communion. Very few people that understand water baptism. Very few people that understand the baptism of the Holy Spirit. No, you know what? You've got to get it. Because the weapons of our warfare aren't carnal. The weapons of our warfare are regarding our understanding. Because if you can understand, guess what? You can see it. If you can see it, you can have vision. If you can have vision, you can communicate it. If you could communicate it, guess what? God will bring provision for that vision.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Guts Church podcast. For more information on our service times, please visit gutschurch.com.